Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I have to be honest with you, I screwed up on Christmas Eve. First of all, I changed my sermon in the middle of it because we had so many guests. And I was starting to tell you about Grandpa Stoliker. I never finished that story. I went right into the thing about grace and I forgot to do it. Now, for those of you who weren't here, I'm going to give a quick recap of that. My grandfather, you know, we came from that Russian-German family, was sort of unique because he had all these funny things that he did. And bless him, I mean, it's just one of those things, but we always, at Christmas, had an extra seat at the table for Jesus. Nobody sat there, but we had a place sitting in a chair. In 1959, we had a blizzard. And we had just sat down, and we were just getting ready to say our common table prayer, which is, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest." And just as we sat down, knock at the door. So Grandpa got up, went to the door. Here's a guy standing there. I mean, it's really snowing. In Nebraska, sometimes in a blizzard, you can get a foot of snow in an hour. And the wind was blowing. I mean, it was bad. But anyway, his car quit running, and he had managed to get it to there, and he saw the lights on, so he came up. And he says, "Can I use your phone?" And Grandpa Stoliker said, "Sure, come on in." So the guy came in and called his family in Lincoln, and he said, "I'm going to have to get the car fixed, so I'm going to be late coming home." And it's Christmas Day, you know, the poor guy. It's not like back in 1959, there's a lot of people that are open on Christmas Day. So anyway, Grandpa Stoliker said, "Hey, sit down, have you eaten? Sit down and eat with us. We've got a place setting here for you." And he says, "You have a place?" And he says, "Yeah, we knew you were coming. I think this is where I left this one the other night." So we sat down, and he joined us for Christmas dinner, and it was very nice. And after the dinner, he went out, started his car, and drove home. Now, stop and think about that. Is that his car didn't run. It had stopped, and after he came in and had dinner with us, it started and went home. Now, it's probably a vacuum leak, you know, in the older cars. But it still was the idea. I think he was led there by the Holy Spirit that day. And it's one of those things, you know, we used to laugh about Grandpa Stoliker because of all the funny things that he would do, of which that was one, but yet there was a method in his madness all the time. Well, you know, there's a lot of people who are touched by the Holy Spirit. And today, one of the important ones is Simeon. Okay? And so we're going to talk about this Song of Simeon, which is verses 29 to 32 that's in our gospel reading today. Well, who was Simeon? Anybody know? Outside of what the scripture just said about him? Well, we know that Jesus was taken and presented to Simeon at the temple. Why was he presented to him? Because he was the head priest. He was the high priest of the temple. We know in some of the other writings he was a just and devout man in Jerusalem. And he met Mary, Joseph, and Jesus as they entered the temple to fulfill requirements of the law of Moses on the 40th day from Jesus' birth at the presentation of Jesus at the temple. Well, what that meant is that you were the firstborn son. You were presented at the temple to do God's work. And that happened on the 40th day. And remember, 40 in the Bible is important because it's that time of trial and adversity that you overcome. For as Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, the Jews spent 40 years traveling, you know, so 40 is one of those things that you face a trial that is overcome. According to our Luke reading, the Simeon had been visited by the Holy Spirit and told he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. Not until he had seen the Jesus, but until he'd seen the Lord's anointed one. And remember, as we did some of the investigation into the word charis, which is grace, so Christ is God's grace living among us, okay? So, on taking Jesus into his arms, he uttered a prayer which we still use liturgically. Okay, it's called in Latin the Nunc Dimittis. A dimit is when you leave someplace. You know, if you're going to leave in good graces, they give you a dimit, okay, which means that there's no problems. Nunc means now. All right, so now you may leave is what it comes down to. But the thing that's important about this is he knew about the crucifixion holding this baby in his hands. Now let's look at this. All right, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. Simeon was an old man who had been the chief priest at the temple for many, many years. He knew that his time in this earthly life was going to be over soon, but he is told that he would not go to be with God until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he's holding Jesus, it's the Lord's Christ. Now here's the most important part of the Song of Simeon, why this has lasted for 2,000 years. For mine eyes have seen your salvation. Well, how would he know that? And what did he mean? Well, Simeon knew that Jesus was here and what was going to happen to him. His arrest, his trial, his crucifixion, and his resurrection. That had been communicated to him by God the Father. And so we see stuff like that, you know, for mine eyes have seen your salvation. Well, what does that mean? Well, usually we read it and we keep on going. But isn't that important? My eyes have seen your salvation. He knew he was holding the salvation of the world in his hands. And in 31, that you have prepared in the presence of all people. You know, the thing is that salvation was not just for the Jews. And he says, before the face of all people. We're going to talk about the King James here in a minute. Because remember, anytime you're in front of the face, you know, on the Aaronic benediction, I go back and I actually use the one out of the Old Testament. I don't use the mother one, the modern one that has taken out that third part, you know, part of it, that, and, you know, and may his countenance be upon. You know, countenance means face, his look. All right, so here we have Jesus to be seen by everyone. And his message was to be given to everyone. And he sort of tells us that in the next verse when he says, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for your glory to your people Israel. In the Lutheran Church, in fact, this is going back to the liturgy of the Deutsche Mass. In other words, first German service that Luther did for the church, which was still Roman Catholic. This was in there, and we have kept it in the German services, at least in the ALC, in the Missouri Synod, and the Wisconsin Synod, even up until today. It goes like this. Lord, now let us now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen the salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. That's done after communion. Stop and think about that for a second. Why would we sing Simeon's song after communion? Because that's when we're in the presence, in the face of Jesus. You know, when you start looking at things like that, all of a sudden I think the Bible's got a deeper meaning. You know, I talk about that all the time than what if we just sit down and read it. The other thing is that Simeon was the head priest of the Jews. But yet, who does he say this message is for? A light to lighten the Gentiles. Or as they put it here in the ESV, a light for revelation to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Us. Anybody that's not a Jew. And the glory of your people, Israel. Now here's where it really gets deep, because if this is for the Gentiles, as long as the Jews, who are the people of Israel? All y'all. Think about that for a second. It's there. It says it right there in the Bible. But yet, if we just read it as, say, a cursory reading, we don't get it, do we? That's what I think. Sometimes it is so important to really sit down and study the Bible. All right, so why is all this so important for us today? Why am I going in and spending time on this? Well, in the Catechism, we talk about Jesus in two terms, the humiliation and the exaltation. Well, what is the humiliation? Who came down from heaven and was made man. Okay, we say it in the creed. But why is that a humiliation? Because Jesus gave up his godhood to come down and be one of us. He humiliated himself, so he's no longer God. Now, Luther teaches that in the Catechism. St. Augustine, 4th century A.D., is the one who came up with that. All right, so when you stop and think, this has been theology almost 1700 years. There's a reason why it's important. All right, now what's the exaltation then? If we are looking at Jesus humiliated because he became man, when is he exalted? After the resurrection. Remember, Jesus refers to himself how before the resurrection and the crucifixion? As the Son of Man. How does he refer to himself after the resurrection? The Son of God. He changes because he put his Godhead hat back on. And now he has exalted himself back into his proper position in the Trinity and the Godhead. Now to me, that's important. And he tells us that. But yet Simeon knew all of this, holding that little baby in his hands on the 40th day after Jesus' birth when he was presented at the temple. For mine eyes have seen your salvation. Have your eyes seen his salvation? I think so. I think we all have. So that message was not just for the Jews. It wasn't just for the Gentiles. That message is to us. And the message is going to be to every generation that follows us. And so that message is just as important today as it was 2,000 years ago. So, when Simeon's holding this baby, what child is this? The Son of God who earned salvation for all of us on the cross. What a wonderful Christmas gift for all of us. And may this gift keep your hearts and minds as Christ Jesus, the grace of God, who was sent to us for our salvation. Amen.